Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We started last week and talked about the first two verses. This is the doctrinal section of the book of Romans. The first eight chapters were this is the practical section in the book of Romans. The first eight chapters were the doctrinal section. And I mentioned last week that doctrine in the Bible is never taught as an end in itself. It's always taught to form the basis of our behavior, the basis of our actions. John 13:17, if ye know these things, happy are ye that do them. And so Paul spent a lot of time in the first eight chapters telling us what we ought to believe as Christians, talking to us about sin, talking to us about justification, talking to us about sanctification, the benefits that we have in Jesus Christ. And so in these last chapters, he's saying, what you know about God, you ought to live. It ought to affect how you live. And so we started last week in the first two verses where he says, I beseech ye, therefore, by the mercies of God, by the good things that God has done for every person, brethren, Christians, both Jews and Gentiles, that ye present or yield your bodies as living sacrifices. He said in verse 2, don't be conformed, pressured, or molded by this world. And that's what the world will try to do. It'll try to pressure us into having the same priorities that they have and the same desires that they have. I heard a news report on the way here that the Justice Department is going to sue, take to court the Attorney General in the state of Texas because he won't go along with the Supreme Court and won't issue a divorce paper for two gay people that want to get divorced. And he won't do it because he doesn't recognize their marriage. State of Texas doesn't. And this guy says, let them take me to court. I'm going to stand what the Bible says as opposed to what those guys said. But the world will try to conform us to what they believe. And God tells us here in chapter 2, don't be pressured, don't be molded by this world, but be transformed. And we talked about it last week. That's being changed at our very nature, changed deep down by the renewing of our mind. Renewing of our mind to prove or test or try the will of God. And when we prove or test or try the will of God, we'll see that it's always good. It's always right. The will of God is always right. It's acceptable. Once we start following the will of God, we'll not only see how good it is, but how much richer it makes our life, how much more joy we have in our life. So it's not only we prove it that it's acceptable to us, that God's will for our life is a lot better than our will for our life, and that it's perfect in that it will accomplish what God wants accomplished. So we start in verse 3 tonight where the Bible says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So Paul's going to talk about what this transformed life will look like. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's going to describe it to us in the next few verses. And he says, I'm going to do that through the grace given unto me. The grace that was given unto Paul was that he was called to be an apostle. He was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about it a lot, especially in the book of Corinthians. He said, I don't deserve that. I was a persecutor of Christians. And it was God in his grace, his unmerited favor, that called me to be an apostle. And so I, as an apostle, Paul would say, counsel every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Paul says the transformed life is a life of humility. We as believers need to be careful of being above-minded, thinking ourselves better than anybody else. Because Paul says, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. God didn't give us a measure of faith because we were better than anybody else or because we were smarter than anybody else. God wants everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he's given enough faith, he's dealt to every person enough faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Enough faith to believe that he died for our sins. Enough faith to receive him as their Savior. He has dealt to every person that much faith. I mean, when you talk to people about the Lord and they say, well, I just don't have the faith. You say, oh, no, yes, you do. Because the Bible says that God's given you enough faith to believe the gospel. He doesn't force anybody to take it, but every person has enough faith to believe it and to accept it if they will. And so if that's true, if God has dealt to every person enough faith to get saved, don't think of yourself too highly just because you've received it. Every single person has that same opportunity. He says you need to think soberly about yourself, realistically, honestly, assess yourself. Don't think that you're any better than anybody else. Look at verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. What Paul's talking about here is that every believer, every Christian, as a result of their salvation, as a result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God has given them a gift. God has given them an ability. Regardless of our station in life, regardless of our background, regardless out of what we've come to be a Christian, God has given every single person a gift, something that he expects them to use for him. And it is his plan and his purpose that every person and every gift be used in his kingdom, in his church, in his body, of which we're all members of. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. By the way, the gift is a result of God's grace. None of us deserve it. None of us merit it. It's all given, again, by the unmerited favor of God. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so again, Paul's using the metaphor of the body. And he says we have to live in the body of Christ in relationship to one another. Many members, but we all have gifts. Each of those gifts are different. And God expects us to use those gifts in the way that he intends. And so he mentions some of them in the next few verses. He does this also in the book of Corinthians, the list in Corinthians, a little bit longer than this one. And so this is not an all-inclusive list, but a list that Paul thought the Romans needed to hear about and to have him explain a little bit. And so he says, if it's prophecy, and again, prophecy is inspired utterance. It's revelation from God, things that God wants us to know and to tell others about. And so he says, if that's your gift, do it in proportion, do it according to the proportion of faith. In other words, in harmony with what's already been revealed. I will tell you tonight, like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. God doesn't have any new revelations. And so if you hear somebody say, well, I have a new revelation from God that disagrees with the Bible a little bit, you need to just turn the channel, change the channel, turn the TV off, because that is not a prophet of God. God will never reveal anything that disagrees with his word. He will reveal deeper understanding of his word. He will reveal more detail of his word, but he will never reveal anything that disagrees with his word. And so let him that has the gift of prophecy use it in proportion to faith. Or ministry, let us wait in on our ministry. And again, that word ministry means the work of being a servant, of serving other people. It would cover almost any kind of service that's done in the church, in the family of God. Or he that teaches on teaching. Again, making the unchanging truth of the Word of God understandable to the unlearned. Again, teaching is a gift of God. And teachers, if you've been given that gift, you ought to use it. By the way, I don't think God gives gifts that expire. I don't think God gives gifts that go out of use when you get a certain age. I think if he's given you this gift, doesn't matter how long you've been doing it or how old you are, you need to use the gift that God's given you. That's the plan. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Again, a teacher appeals to the mind. An exhorter appeals to the heart as he offers consolation, as he offers encouragement. And again, I would tell you, I think we live in a day where one of the gifts that's needed most of all is this gift of exhortation. There's a lot of Christians that are discouraged today. There are a lot of Christians that need to be picked up and reminded that God is God, that he's still in charge. Satan may appear to be winning the battle, but he's only going to go as far as God's going to allow him. And then when he goes that far, he's going to get jerked back on the chain that he's on. And we need encouragers today. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Every member of the body of Christ has an opportunity to give. That word simplicity sometimes means liberally. Sometimes it means with singleness of heart. When we give, when we as the body of Christ give, we need to do it with all our heart. He that ruleth with diligence. Those that exercise leadership in the church. Again, it's a gift just as much as the others are. And they need to do it with diligence. They need to do it responsibly. They need to do it as if they're doing it for God, because they are doing it for God. This is his, this church is his church. And the leaders of this church need to remember that and need to lead like they're doing it on the behalf of Jesus Christ. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. What that phrase means is the gift of engaging in practical deeds of kindness. Practical deeds of kindness. Now, there's a lot of folks that have not been given the gift of teaching. There's a lot of folks that have not been given the gift of ministering. There's a lot of folks that have not been given the gift of leadership. But I think, and I might be stepping on a limb when I say this, I believe every Christian has been given the gift to do practical gifts of kindness. I believe that God has given that gift to every single person. And there are people all around us that need that kindness. Brother Clint, when he usually prays, he didn't do it tonight, he sort of surprised me tonight, but he says he usually closes his prayer by saying, Lord, help us be kind to somebody today. That's a gift that's given to us by God that we ought to exercise often, because there's people all around us that need us to show them the kindness of Jesus Christ. So, what this passage is saying is each of these gifts are given by God. Each of these gifts are necessary to the body of Christ. God has put us together. He's put us together with his gifts. We need them all. And so we should never, ever say, well, my gift's more important than your gift. Because it's not. It's not. Every gift is given by God. Every gift is given to a member of the body that God has joined together. And so every gift in the scheme of God, in the plan of God, in the purpose of God is important. It's needed. And again, if we step back and we say, well, there's other people that have the same gift that I have, and so I'm just going to let them take care of this gift. I'll just step back and I won't exercise the gift that God has given me. Careful. Careful. Don't do that. I believe there's people that are in your life, that are people under your sphere of influence, that only you can give them the gift of God that they need. That they need. And by the way, if you don't exercise that gift, I think God's going to come after you. I think God's going to get after you. He's given you that gift in trust. He's given you that gift to use. You remember the talent, the parable of the talents? One guy, the master was leaving. He gave one 5 and one 2 and one servant 1. And the guy that got 5 went out and doubled it. The guy that got 2 went out and doubled it. And the master came back and said, "Well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the one that had 1 came and said, "Master, I know you're a hard master. I know you reap where you don't sow. And I was afraid. I was afraid I'd fail. And so I took your talent and I buried it in the earth. Here it is." And you remember what the master said? He said, "You wicked, slothful servant. At least you should have put it in the bank so that I could have interest on it when I get back." And I believe that when we ignore the gifts of God, again, that He's given to us as an act of grace, none of us deserve the gifts that God's given to us. None of us. But an act of grace. And by the way, God knows what He's doing. When He gives you a gift, it is suited to you as a person. It is suited to your personality. It is suited to your abilities. I mean, He made you. And don't you think that the God that made you know what gifts that you can use the best? How dare us say, "Well, I know better than God. I can just step back and I won't use this gift." Listen, I warn you tonight, don't do that. Don't do that. God, if He chooses to, knows how to make us miserable. And He will do it if we don't use the gifts that He has given us inside His body. Jesus said, remember what He said? Now think about this. He said, he talked about us loving Him, about us feeding Him, about us clothing Him, about us visiting Him. And some of His disciples said, "Well, when did we do that?" And Jesus said, in that you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. These gifts are to be used inside the body of Christ. They are to be used for those that make up the body of Christ. They are to be used for Christ Himself, so to speak, because we're all members of the body of Christ. How dare us? How dare us ignore that gift? How dare us not exercise that gift that God has put in His body for His use? So use it. Use it. Use it. We're out of time. I have more, but we're going to stop. We'll pick up here next week. The men will be praying. The ladies will be praying. So you can join their groups if you would like. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. And we'll be dismissed tonight.